The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! It is possible!
Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys NBA podcast. My name is Mitch Casey, and as always, I'm joined by my good mate, Callum Mack. How are you doing today, man?
Playoffs, baby. Let's go.
Playoffs. Exciting basketball. Time. Yep. We're officially underway. We're in the thick of it. Have you been catching some games?
I have been watching some games. I wish I could watch more, but they've been exciting. Some upsets here and there, so we can get into it.
There's been a couple. We'll definitely be talking a lot of playoff basketball in the back end of this podcast. But just initial thoughts on the playoffs. It's been exciting. There's been a few upsets, few sort of injury concerns. Of course, like you mentioned, it's a bit hard for us to catch all the games with our time difference here in Australia. But I've been trying to get some of those late games. I finish work early and catch the second half of those games. So it is always good to come home, flick the basketball on straight away. So got to love that. But the first half of today's podcast, we did our fantasy awards last week. But today we're going to be doing our NBA, the Ball Boys NBA Awards official. And now this isn't our, season awards. So not like your MVP picks or your most improves and things like that. That stuff's boring and the media's going to cover that. We know who's going to win that. This is the legit shit right here. I'll let you, you've come up with all these categories here, Cal. So I'm going to let you lead us into each category and you'll have a pick and then I'll have a pick here as well. And we can discuss from there. So I'll throw over to you. What's our first award of the night for the NBA 2021 season?
I'll firstly stipulate that this is for the regular season.
Yes. Obviously, no playoffs
considered here. Yeah. Even though obviously Luka just killed it today. Well, I'll try to take that out of my mind when I was making this list.
Yep.
purely regular season. So the first award that we have is the biggest surprise team of the year. So a team that I guess shocked a lot of people. If you went on the over in Vegas, you probably would have won this one. For your biggest surprise team. There's a few pretty good contenders. The ones I've written down, I won't reveal my pick first, but I've got a Knicks up there, which I think is no surprise.
I think that's the obvious one.
The Hawks as well is another name that I thought of. They are versing each other in the playoffs, funnily enough.
Up behind the seedings.
And then I've got a third one. I'll let you. Do you have any more outside of those two?
I've got two. I've got the Utah Jazz because I actually went through my preseason predictions and I had the Jazz in my eighth seed in our preseason prediction. I think last year they were the sixth or something like that. I had them dropping down a little bit. I thought that, they weren't going to be as good as last year. I was worried about their lack of depth. And then for the surprising, now we've got a disappointing team later on, which I'll shout out another team, but I wanted to get this team in here as a big surprise because I thought it'd be a lot better, but the Toronto Raptors as like a negative surprise. I was expecting them to do a lot better, but they did not. So I was very surprised by that as this one, but I think the lowest...
It's meant to be a positive light on this one. It's meant to be...
Well, the Utah Jazz is the other team. And of course, I had the Knicks probably as the team that won it for me because, I did not see this team making the playoffs at all, let alone the fourth seed and my pick to make it to the second round. So, I think that's the obvious one. Do you think that's like the clear clear-cut winner. Yep.
There was one I had that you haven't mentioned, which is very similar to Utah. And they're only one win away from each other when it was all said and done at the regular season in the Suns. And I think I would have had them at the seventh seed in my preseason, but no one would have seen them being the second seed. Huge surprise in that respect. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, Chris Paul's there. He'll get him into the playoffs. Not at all. Chris Paul has carried them to the number two seed. So huge, huge kudos. I think that was a big surprise. Yep. But my winning team, just like yours, would have to be the Knicks. I think I didn't have them in the playoffs. A lot of people didn't have them in the playoffs. And they got the fourth seed. They got home court.
So. Yeah, like legit. Like who saw this coming? Like I'm sure all the Knicks fans out there were getting ready. They're licking their lips. They're going, oh, yep, we're going to get Cade Cunningham. Like that was the goal at the start of the season. And now they're going to be like drafting in like the 20s or something like that. But like, you know, you take that if you're going to make the playoffs. But yeah, totally, totally shocking. They had no shooting on the roster. You know, you've got Tom Thibodeau who's coming in as the coach. You know, RJ Barrett was a disappointment last year. Like, you know, who's the starting center on this roster? Like, it's just a bit of a mishmash of players. You know, yeah, it's totally random, but kudos to the Knicks. But they've done all right. I do want to mention with your Phoenix Suns, I did think about them, but I went back to our first predictions and I actually predicted them to be higher seeded than the Utah Jazz. So that's why I was sort of mentioning the Utah, because I had them pegged at the sixth seed, but like I said, did not see this second seed sort of coming. So
I kind of considered Utah, but in the back of my mind, for some reason, I thought that last season when they actually got Mike Conley, everyone was like, this team has to be really a top four team. And then this year now Conley had such a bad start. Now the chemistry was there
last year. Yeah.
They finally played to, I guess, to his potential with a solid team. So that's why I kind of scratched the Suns a notch higher than Utah.
Yeah. No, fair enough. I think they're both like, you know, we never would have picked those to be the one and two seeds in the West when you've got the players like the Clippers, you've got the Lakers there, you know, you've got the Nuggets obviously up there as well. So never would have seen. Obviously, it's been a crazy year. So, you know, there's been a lot of COVID stuff and injuries seem to have been just the craziest I remember. So I think these teams have benefited a lot from like just being healthy and consistent throughout the entire year, like having that chemistry, not too much change from season to season. Obviously you've got Chris Paul coming in, but he kind of is like able to fit in seamlessly, you know, being that veteran that he is. But yeah, I think they've been beneficial and we're still not picking them to sort of make the conference finals. Although maybe that might change, but I guess we're still not quite sold on either of those teams. I think we both had the LA teams making the conference finals. Is that right? I can't remember a week ago, but
yeah, we did. And last week, that's what I said.
Yeah. I think I had the Clippers making the finals. Oh man. We'll touch on that later, but maybe we've got to start giving some of these other teams some more respect. I think that, well, who was your other team? You said one other team.
I said the Hawks as well. Hawks were a reserve. I didn't see them. I thought that'd be a 500 team. And I guess I had them, I think, either in the ninth seed. I think I had them in my ninth seed, so just outside the playoffs.
I think there was a bit of a debate with us preseason about them making the playoffs versus not making the playoffs. I think I had them in the eighth seed, just scraping in over like an Indiana Pacers, which ended up being true. I mean, I think I was eating my words a little bit at the start of the season because the Pacers started so well, but then they faded hard at the end. So didn't expect them to be this high though. Maybe they'll come up in a few more awards later on. What's the next award here, Cal?
All right, so next one, which you touched on. So most disappointing team. You can take it a few different ways. You mentioned the Raptors. That they're obviously for consideration here. Yeah. I also would throw the Bulls into the mix and then probably the Pacers, because they really didn't close the season very well.
No, they didn't do so well.
They would be my top three. Did you have anyone you wanted to add?
Yes, I do. And it's, I didn't want to add these guys in because, well, I had high hopes at the start. Well, not even high hopes at the start of the season, but I just not this bad. The Boston Celtics.
I wanted to hear you say it.
The Boston Celtics, they're my team. I think I had them pegged at like a third or a fourth seed at the start of the season. I thought we were worse than we were last year, no doubt, but just the lack of consistency, and just the lack of chemistry throughout the season, I think, yeah, it just was a bit rough there. So what are your thoughts on the Celtics?
Yeah, it was a down season. They had some injuries there that played into it, but I think there's something a bit off with the team. They're going to have to mix it up. They'll have to make a trade. I'd like them to keep, obviously, Tatum and Brown together. So maybe Marcus Smart would be in the market, which a year ago I never would have said that. I thought he'd be like a die Celtic for life, but maybe he's the guy. I don't know. It's hard. And all of their kind of off-season, you know, pickups from the market was pretty bad. I mean, look, they got Jeff Teague, who ended up doing nothing. And even their draft picks, Pritchard was all right, but the past couple of years, their draft picks have been a bit of a letdown, which affects their bench. Their bench has just been trash.
Yeah, no, the previous years, they haven't developed properly. Like we haven't appreciated the talents. Like no one's really stepped into a impactful role. You know, you got players like Romeo Langford and all these sort of guys that have just sort of amounted to nothing so far. I'm seeing glimpses from Neesmith, but obviously it's not enough to affect this season. You've had injuries like Jaylen Brown obviously going down in terms of the playoff hopes. It's just completely crushed all of my dreams, and I'm more leaning. I think I gave them one game in our playoff predictions. I think we're going to get swept. I think this Nets team is just too strong. We're not doing anything, and now Tatum's got his friggin' eye poked out. So I don't know. I just think this team's gonna collapse really, and go into the off season pretty disappointed. Like I said, not to get into too much off season stuff, but I have no idea where we're gonna go from here. I think they're gonna give it a bit more time before they make any dramatic moves, but maybe if it's another disappointing year next year, there'll be some shakeups. But we'll see. It's hard to sort of see where the improvement's going to come from, really. It's probably the hardest thing for this team. So, yeah.
I'll touch on the Raptors again, because that I'll reveal that that's my pick for the most disappointing. I thought they didn't have any good centers, which obviously really did derail them, but maybe they could have picked someone up or traded for them or something. But I thought OG would take a step forward, which he did. He got injured towards the end of the season, but OG taking a step. Siakam's still young. I thought maybe he could take a step forward. And
Siakam took a bit of a step backwards this year. Hey, like he
took a step back.
He disappointed me a lot this year.
Yeah.
Someone had him in fantasy. I definitely didn't see that coming. But he looks like he wasn't, especially early in the season. They dug themselves a big hole and sort of couldn't get it back out of it. Shooting really poorly. I don't know about the center thing. Like it's weird because I feel like, yeah, they had Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka last year. They're not huge names, you know. Like they weren't really their best players. I mean, yeah, you had Aaron Baines, and I don't know why they're playing Aaron Baines starting center most nights. Chris Boucher was solid. Like I think he was good. I don't think it's that big of a drop off. So I'm still scratching my head a little bit. Like what the fuck went wrong with this team?
Nick Nurse as well. I thought surely Nick Nurse could carry the roster they had to an 8 seed. Like that was my thought. I was like, surely they're a playoff team. I had them like 4th or something in my preseason.
I had them at home court. Fifth. So, it was a weird drop off because they, I think we might've flagged, we flagged them as an under in our preseason, over under pod. So we were definitely thinking they were going to be worse this year, but just the drop off and the dramatic fall in the standings was fairly significant. What did they end up finishing in the end? Were they?
Well, they didn't even make the play-in tournament. So
they were outside the top 10. So yeah, 11th or 12th in the
East. They were 12th. Like the Bulls were 11th. They were 12th in the East.
Fuck.
So 27 and 45.
So they're going to have sort of like a top 7 or 8 pick.
They did start the tank towards the end of the season. I will mention that. But they still were in that position before they started the tank. I think they decided when they had such a bad record to go full tank. So
what are our thoughts for them next year? Do we think that they like embrace the tank, don't sign Kyle Lowry, start a bit of a youth movement and rebuild, or do they give another crack to try and make the playoffs? What are your thoughts there?
I have a pretty strong feeling that Lowry will be traded. So, and I imagine it's going to be a sign and trade in the offseason, or he'll get like a reasonable contract and they'll trade him somewhere he wants to go. Because he is Mr. Toronto up there. They'll do well by him. But at this point, I think they will, to some degree, embrace the youth movement and get rid of him.
I think so too. And I think it's the right move because, you know, their good players are not old. So they've got they've got the ability to go youth movement, but still be somewhat competitive and make it like a quick rebuild. You know, you've just re-signed Fred VanVleet. OG and Pascal are still young. You've got players like Malachi Flynn there, who looks promising. I like the look of him. You add a top sort of 7 or 8 pick, or if you get lucky, you might even get like a top 4 or 5 pick if you move up in the draft. So I think that's the way to go. I hope that Lowry, I think they should move him on, but I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sold. That seems to be where all the talk is heading, but I don't know who wants him, you know, and who's going to sign him to a big contract. I'm sure there might be one team out there that throws some money his way though. But we'll see. Let's maybe move on to the next award, a bit more of a happy note.
So we got the biggest surprise player of the year. So I guess it's a little bit similar to your most improved, but you can really take a flyer on anyone, you know, MVP candidates or whatever. So obviously, look, I've got Julius Randle's on my list. Terry Rozier is also on my list, who are big surprises for me. Took big steps forward. We mentioned both of us had Julius as our most improved.
Yeah.
Another name I'll throw out there is Nikola Jokic, the potential MVP, because his season was incredible, historic. Yeah, I didn't see this coming. No one really did.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible. Like, and the fact that, I don't know, I keep seeing so many people like, yes, Steph Curry had a great season. Yes, he's amazing and fun to watch. But if anyone but Jokic gets the MVP, it's a disaster of an award. You know, like, he has to win the award this season. Played every single game, was dominant, kept the team afloat even when Jamal Murray went down. You know, just the best big man in basketball by far.
And he was doing everything, assists, in his clutch, like field goals, amazing too. There's nothing he didn't do.
Yeah, I remember we did our most clutch players, I think, in the offseason. And I think Jermaine mentioned him as like a top five clutch player. And I shot him down. I was like, nah, you can't be doing that. And it's come true this year. I would definitely have him in my five now. So he's been very clutch this year, making great decisions, very smart. And I want to say, what pick was he? Was he a 40, like 46 pick or 40?
He was a second rounder. I think it was 30s, late 30s.
Second rounder, regardless. So I want to do a bit of, I should do a bit of research and maybe I'll come back on this on the next pod. But the latest draft pick to win the MVP award in the NBA, I want to know who, because I reckon he's got to be up there. I can't think
41st
of
any, pick is 41st. What he was.
There you go. So in the 40s. Yeah. So I wonder if he's the lowest drafted MVP in the league's history. I'd love to find it. Obviously, he hasn't won the award yet, but he definitely should. I can't think of anyone who's been drafted lower that's won the award. Can you?
I'm not too sure. I'm trying to have a quick Google search now, but off the top of my head, no idea.
No, I can't think of a single person. Maybe someone way back in the day. I'm not really sure, but so definitely in recent times that the lowest drafted player that I think is going to win the MVP. You mentioned Julius Randle. He's my pick for this award. I think it's pretty obvious. Again, it's low-hanging fruit, but I didn't think Julius Randle was a good player before this season. As reflected on my pick of the Knicks, the fact that he's able to be the sole good player on this team and drive them up to a fourth seed, become what I think should be an all-NBA second team forward, it's just, never saw that coming. Never saw that coming in a million years. So tip my hat to Mr. Randle.
Yeah, I had Jokic to begin with, but I thought, I should be Randle. It just has to be Randle.
It's boring, but it's the easiest choice. Like, it has to be Julius Randle. Like, we're not breaking any records here or surprising anyone, but we just got to pay our respects. We got to pay our respects to the great man.
Yep.
Who was your other guy?
Terry Rozier is another guy I had an honorable mention to, but there were some injuries there. That kind of boost.
I think he got a bit lucky with a couple, like you said, some injuries and some opportunity that came his way. And
he was Mr. Clutch though. He had a great clutch field goal. So
yeah, you got to tip his hat to him. Yeah, that he's done the best with the opportunity that he was given. So
you could say maybe Sabonis too is another honorable mention. He had a great season, but just didn't really quite maintain it towards the end. Had some injury bug issues. He was putting up similar stats to Randle though. Like they were kind of mirrored to some degree. So
I'll throw out one more name, more on the like lesser known sort of thing there in Kevin Porter Jr. sorry, the Rockets player. What's his name?
Yeah, Kevin Porter Jr. That's right.
Kevin Porter Jr.
Played for the Cavs, got traded.
Got traded. He was looking like he was, you know, his NBA career was washed up. Goes to the Rockets. He had a 50-point game this year. I don't know if you were aware of this, but he can get some buckets, had some big games, and looks like a bit of a building piece for the Rockets moving forward. So he was a bit of a surprise to me. Was never on my radar prior to being traded to the Rockets. So he had a few bright spots. So definitely fits the build of a surprise player.
Yeah, I like that pick. I like honorable mention.
Yeah, honorable mention. Shout out to KPJ. All right, what's the next award there, Cal?
All right, next up
this one
is the most washed player award.
Harsh.
So
I feel like some names here.
It's going to go to someone on the older side of the spectrum, obviously.
Yeah. I reckon I could throw some several names out here, but I'll let you start because I know I can pick two players that you're going to mention.
All right. Well, I feel like the two most obvious and real just textbook washed players right now would have to be DeAndre Jordan, Jeff Teague, and then I also add Eric Bledsoe on my list as well. Can you add to the pile?
I definitely had Eric Bledsoe. He's definitely right up there for me. I mean, I've got a lot of players I could add on here. I'll throw out Hassan Whiteside. Don't think he's playing another NBA game. I'm going to throw out Kevin Love. Washed.
I thought he was washed last season. I kind of, if I thought they were already washed, I didn't consider them as much. So
yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's a very low. It's a bit of a kick in the nuts. But LaMarcus Aldridge.
He literally
retired. What did he have? Did he have a blood clot or
it was something along those lines? Yeah,
arrhythmia, heart issue, or something. So I'm sorry, LaMarcus, you're a great player, but even before then, he was sucking. He was. Let's be fair. He wasn't doing very good. Blake Griffin, sort of.
He kind of turned it on a bit more at the end of the season. He's starting for the Nets.
Yeah, but I don't know. How much is he actually impacting that team? I don't know. So those would be my picks there. Can we pick a winner out of this group? I don't know. There's a lot to choose from.
There is a lot. I'll let you go first. Who is your pick?
My top two that I had were Eric Bledsoe and Hassan Whiteside. I mean,
okay.
Maybe I would take Hassan Whiteside off because I never liked him as a player anyway, but I'm just thinking that he's never going to play in the NBA again. So that's why he's in this list. So if I was to nominate someone, I would say Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, that was my pick. That was my pick. He was terrible. He was shocking. I hated watching him.
So bad.
I watched New Orleans a lot. He just looked so bad. His stats as well were shocking. And he was putting up minutes.
Oh, he played lots of opportunity. Fast-paced team.
It just didn't make sense. I like him and Lonzo. Lonzo can be a combo guy, can play off ball. It could work. No. Like his stats, I think they're about 13, 3 and 3.
Defense was horrible. Used to be a decent defender. Yeah.
He was, I think it was a first all team defense last season.
Was it last season?
So
I'll have to fact check that. He was definitely up there in terms of defense play. I know the Bucks system is probably maybe a beneficiary of that, but yeah, just looked a shadow of himself and it happened real fast because, you know, we were talking, I think when that trade went down in the sort of preseason, we were saying, okay, yeah, it's a lot to give up for Jrue Holiday, but we weren't yet figuring out the fact that Eric Bledsoe was going to be this shit and it was going to be that much of an upgrade. So if it's looking like it's a decent trade. I know they still gave up a lot, but I think it's a decent trade at this point. Obviously, Giannis signed on, so that sort of highlights to me the quickness of him dropping off. So I think he is, unfortunately for Eric, very deserving of the most washed player award from the Ball Boys podcast.
Yeah, he's shocking. Do you reckon, surely he's got to be a bench role next season? Has to be. I don't know who's going to sign him, but maybe it'll be like a six-man option.
Is he a free agent?
Free agent.
Yeah, who the fuck is signing Eric Bledsoe? I mean, I don't know. Someone might, but he's definitely not starting. 100% not starting.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an off chance that he is done. I don't know. I just don't see... maybe he can do a Jeff T kind of thing like the Celtics this year. And then maybe one more year and he's out of the league. But he looked really bad this year. Really bad.
Right, we'll go on to a more positive note next. So
Sorry, Eric.
Next award is it's kind of, I've called it the best second banana award. Yes. Some people might have heard of it before. It's pretty much the MVP of the second option is maybe another way to describe it. So obviously you know, LeBron James's and your Devin Booker's of the world, people who are actually a first option on a team.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, even for example, I took them out of consideration, me personally, even though like, look, Donovan arguably, I don't know if you say Rudy's number one, I wouldn't, but
it sounds like it. When you say second banana, you're sort of, you're thinking offense. I think
it can go either way though.
It goes that way. Yeah. So, yeah, this is where we'll have a discussion here, because I had a bit of a query for you for this award. So I've got a bit of a left field option, but you throw some names at me first, who you're considering for this award.
I've actually written down a lot of names for consideration. Okay. So I reckon we'll run through these, because there's a lot there. I'll firstly say whoever the second banana is on Brooklyn has probably won this award. Let's face it.
Well, yeah, see, this is my thing. Like, who? I don't know. I'd almost disqualified those kind of players. Like,
oh, no, I did too. Like, I think for this segment, we should just get rid of the Nets entirely, because it probably is going to be Durant or Harden, whoever you argue, or Kyrie. So we'll just take them out of consideration.
I feel like it should be a clear cut kind of like number two guy. Do you know what I mean? Like even like the Philadelphia 76ers and like Milwaukee, for example, like you got Drew and Chris Middleton. Like, you know, yeah, you might say Chris Middleton's like maybe a little bit better, but there's not a big gap, you know, Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris. It's like, it's close. So I sort of disqualified those type of teams.
Okay, that's fair enough. Look, I'll take Ben Simmons off my list then. We'll get rid of him.
Oh, okay.
He's gone. Right. He's gone.
All right.
So I'll run through some names. We've got Anthony Davis, obviously is quite a good option. Chris Paul, second seed. Jaylen Brown from your Celtics.
Oh, I like it.
Malcolm Brogdon, I've thrown up there. He's a good second banana, sure. Rudy Gobert, number first seed.
Yes.
Jamal Murray was a great second banana to Jokic.
Yeah, worked very well together.
You got Paul George, playoff P, is in full effect right now, but
had a great season.
Great regular season. CJ McCollum.
Yes.
Without his foot, he was having an amazing season.
Yep.
Bam Adebayo, just his defensive presence. And he's got a good offensive game these days too.
Yep.
And then I've been a bit ambitious with my last one, and I've actually put down Anthony Edwards. Ant Edwards.
Oh no!
Wow. He's okay. Number two, isn't he?
I didn't expect to hear that name in this discussion, but yeah, fair enough, I guess. He was impressive.
He's some low hanging fruit, I think.
He's clearly the number two behind Cat, but D'Angelo Russell there, but he didn't have a great season this year, so
yeah. So is there anyone that I didn't think of that you can add to that list?
I feel like you hit the main ones there. Names that jumped out at me from that list. Obviously, Anthony Davis is hard to go past. I wanted to go a bit more of the exciting route. My pick for this award, it was one of the names you mentioned, is Rudy Gobert for me. Just simply because... like, is he the number two option? I don't know. Like, because I think he is the most valuable player on this team, in my opinion.
That's why I say second banana. And that banana is kind of like the piece that, you know, it can mean anything, really. Offense, defense, bit of both.
Yes.
And sometimes want your number two to just be a defensive specialist. And that's what he is.
Exactly. He's the best defender in the league by far. So I think... that, you know, Donovan Mitchell gets a lot of the limelight, a lot of the credit. You know, we're thinking about him when we're thinking All-Stars. You know, he's the guy that you think of when you think of Utah Jazz. But for me, Rudy Gobert is the glue to this team. He's the reason that they're the number one seed. He's the reason that they're a tough matchup no matter what. So for me, he is the best. And he doesn't demand the offense. He works well within the team's playmaking sort of things. You know, these other guys, they're gonna sort of take limelight away from each other sort of thing, so they're gonna fight for the ball, fight for their shots, you know, there's a bit of sharing going around, whereas Rudy just fits in, does his thing amazing, just great defense, efficient shot making, dunking. So he's my pick. Oh, I did want to mention actually one other player along this is the same kind of kind of fit for this team sort of build. And it's Clint Capela, who I think is a bit of a comparable one over in Atlanta. Someone who doesn't get a lot of recognition. He's someone
leading rebounder.
Leading rebounder, excellent defender on a team that doesn't have a lot of other defenders.
He had a great season. So I'll tip my hat to him. I will say, I feel like anyone would pick Anthony Davis, but looking at the regular season, he had a shocking regular season.
Regular season. Yeah, he did.
He was out for me.
Yep. I like it.
It was really between three players that I mentioned, which is in Rudy Gobert, as you touched on, and then Paul George and Chris Paul. Because all three of them had fantastic seasons. And I actually ended up giving it to Chris Paul. I decided
I like it.
I mean, he's the number two there. He's so important. When he's on the court, I mean, he boosted that team up to 50 wins. Not solely. It was still a reasonable team. But just what he does sometimes, it's really is understated. He just does so many little things that don't end up on the box score.
Yeah.
Such a veteran out there.
We saw it today. We saw it today in the game. He's obviously struggling with a shoulder injury at the moment. He didn't play down the stretch and they needed him. Cameron Payne played pretty well. And he's, you know, exciting player when he gets hot, but he's not Chris Paul. He's not someone who's going to set the team up and make plays for others, play good defense. I think he's extremely valuable to that team. My only question is, like, I feel like he's been getting a lot of attention this year and people are rightfully aware of how good he is and how important he is to this team. So I don't know. That's why I sort of went with Rudy Gobert, because I feel like Gobert's not getting that sort of recognition. Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, he called his the defensive guy, but I feel like we're downplaying how important that is to the Utah Jazz. But I think they're both good options. I think, he's definitely a top three option for me as well. I also considered Bam Adebayo, another name that you mentioned before that I really did like. You know me, I'm probably not as high on Jimmy as you are. I think Bam's the best player on the Heat. No disrespect to Jimmy. Yeah, come on,
Does that mean Jimmy's the best second banana in the league?
Well, no, I think he's the first banana, but similar to like Gobert and those sort of types, I think he just goes unrecognized and does a lot of the little things that doesn't get everyone excited. So do want to shout out to Bam as well, but are we going to have a united thing, or are we going to split the vote? Because I think I'd still go Gobert over Chris Paul.
Look, it's hard. Let's just split the vote. I reckon Chris Paul and Rudy, they both deserve it. So
I think we can have one split award. I think that's fair.
I think that's okay.
Both these guys.
I think that's totally fine.
What's the next award?
All right. So the next one, it's another good positive one. It's great.
Yep.
The brightest future award, and specifically a team. So we're looking at, Who do we think has the brightest future? And I guess I'm kind of looking maybe 5 years from now. I'm not looking 10 years from now where teams have just had stupid amount of draft picks.
Medium term, yeah.
Kind of kind of 3 to 5 years from now, I think.
Obviously, OKC has a million fucking draft picks and they're looking all right, but they're not going to be good for a good while. They're trusting the process right now. So
exactly. They're not competing for a few years.
Spoiler alert, they're not going to be my pick. So I'll throw out my honorable mention first, Cal, and it's the it's the Charlotte Hornets. I like where they're at. I like, obviously, LaMelo Ball is very exciting. He's going to be a superstar, in my opinion. He's going to make everyone else around them better. They've got still the young guards in Rozier and Graham. They're going to have a top 10 pick or a lottery pick this year? So they're going to add some more youth, some more talent. So I'm excited for the future of the Charlotte Hornets. They were going to make the playoffs before LaMelo went down, and he's only going to get better. So other PJ Washington, Miles Bridges and those types, even like a Jalen McDaniels, are all looking pretty exciting. So they were my honorable mention for the brightest future. Not something you could have said for the Hornets a little while ago. They sort of had a not too much of a future, but that draft pick of the LaMelo Ball has really turned them around.
Yeah, I totally agree. I almost put them down on my list, but I think the main thing is the ball boy, right? Like
the ball boy
himself.
Yes. We love the ball boy.
I had some other honorable mentions though. So I'm gonna say I'll say the Grizzlies. Grizzlies, yes. I mean, look, you got Ja Morant and he's in the playoffs right now. He's looking amazing. He dueled Steph Curry in the playoff tournament and outdueled him to some degree. I mean, mm-hmm. he got them over the top, right? So
yep.
That Mavs team is, sorry, not Mavs team, Grizzlies team is obviously yes. a lot better than that Golden State team. But anyway, another honorable mention is the Nuggets, just because Jokic is still so young, and I'd like to think Jamal can bounce back. But
Michael Porter Jr.
And you got Michael Porter Jr. too.
Yeah, so, love Michael Porter Jr. I think he's a great player.
So there's definitely some bright sparks there. So 3 to 5 years, they should be. I mean, they should be contending for 5 more years, really. And if health isn't there, they should be a contender.
I'm still so devastated by that Jamal Murray injury. I think that just sucks so much because, again, with the timeline, it takes away their opportunity next year as well, just because the playoffs are going to be earlier. And it just he's going to be only just coming back from ACL rehab at that point, so he might not be firing. Just sucks. So, but I do agree they've got a long timeline that they'll still have their chances.
Yeah. And then look, I had the everyone has to have the Pelicans, right? And you got Zion Williams.
Yeah. You have to. Although, I don't know. I outside of him and Ingram, I'm not sure. I mean, we both do like Kira Lewis.
I like Kira Lewis.
I don't know if he's like, game changing though.
And then the Lonzo Ball aspect is interesting because it could be a sign and trade.
I don't think he's going to be on the team next year. It doesn't sound like
he's restricted though. But he's restricted, so
yeah. But there was all these trade rumors at the trade deadline, and I don't know. That just doesn't.
I think worst case, it's a sign and trade. Like
you're probably right, but like, what do they get back? Is it worth much? I don't know. Like Zion's your piece. Obviously you've got Zion, and that's it. Like that's all you need, really. Like that's a bright future right there.
You've got Alexander Walker and you got Kira Lewis. So even if Zoe goes, you've still got two pretty young pieces.
But this is a franchise that had Anthony Davis as well. That's why they sort of slid down my list. They had Anthony Davis. What did they do with it? They made the playoffs once or twice. They won one series. I don't know. I want to see more from them than just, we've got Zion. That's my only thing for them. I'm not ready to declare them bright future yet.
They can trade Ingram, though. That's one of the things. They definitely have a good piece to trade if worst comes to worst.
I reckon you keep Ingram. I don't know. Maybe he's a good fit.
I think they should trade him, personally. Get rid of Ingram.
Really?
I reckon it's get rid of Ingram, bring someone else in around Zion.
Hot take. I don't mind it, though. I don't think he's like a keep at all costs, but yeah, fair enough. I think that's a pretty hot take there. Who have you got winning the award? Those were all honorable mentions?
I'll say one more honorable to the Timberwolves. Yep. Just because I'm a big fan of Anthony Edwards. I said coming into the draft, he should be number one. I'm standing by that. Oh, not really. Lonzo,
LaMelo.
The ball boy himself should have been number one. But Anthony Edwards, there's a lot of potential there, man.
He's winning me around. I, again, more a franchise thing than the talent itself. They've got talent, obviously. I don't know. Prove me right. They've got to win me over more for me to get more excited because, I don't know, they've disappointed me. I think they should have won more to this point than they have. So,
All right, give me a pick. Who have you got as the brightest future award?
Well, it was one of the teams you mentioned in this list. And for me, the brightest future is the Memphis Grizzlies for me.
Ja Morant,
Jaren Jackson Jr., and they've got a lot of other good players on that team. Yeah. They're loaded with talent. I love Xavier Tillman. They've got De'Anthony Melton, who I'm a big fan of. Just deep at most positions. And I think just having that young duo of Ja and Triple J and then a deep roster surrounding that are all on the similar sort of timeline, I really like them. I think, obviously, they beat the Utah Jazz. They took down the number one seed. They've taken down the Golden State Warriors. They're getting that playoff experience in, which I think is invaluable.
They beat the Spurs too, like in that playoff game. Yep. That was an elimination game. So
I think they're ticking all the boxes. They would have been a higher seed, I think, if Jaren Jackson had been healthy the entire season. Because I think at the end of the day, he has the potential to be their best player, even better than Ja Morant. He's got like that Anthony Davis type ceiling. Maybe it's not as likely to get there as like a Ja Morant is going to be a superstar, but he's probably got a higher ceiling than Ja. And if he hits it, then this team could be a championship contending team in the next sort of 3 to 5 years. So I'm really high on the Grizzlies. I like their talent. So they're already showing me something. It's exciting right now. So I'm really, really buying into their future.
Yeah, it's their depth, and they're still so young. I mean, yeah. Desmond Bane.
There's another one. Rookie. I love Desmond.
Rookie. Great shooter. Some really good minutes. In that game one, I don't believe they even played Brendan Clark or Justice Winslow, who are two good young pieces as well. So there's a lot of pieces there. So I know what you mean. They're a playoff team already. So Jar's only going to get better, and Jar is the keys to, I guess, a good playoff run anyway.
Yeah. Think about Jar versus Zion. Jar's team's in the playoffs and he's doing things. And, you know, who's his all-star teammate, you know? You know, Brandon Ingram's on the Pelicans.
Yeah.
You don't have another all-star on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Brandon Ingram, he was an all-star last season, wasn't he? Was Zion out?
Yeah, he was. He was an all-star last year.
Technically, he's got an all-star with him. I feel like if it's a year removed, it still counts.
Oh, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's two all-stars on the Pelicans and they still haven't made the playoffs. So no all-stars this year on the Grizzlies and they're making the playoffs. They're only going to get better. So I'm excited for this team. Who's your pick?
My pick was actually the Nuggets. Even with the injury thing, it makes it a bit more awkward. You probably persuaded me to the Grizzlies, but like the Jokic, he's just going to be – he's not athletic and he's – but he's still so good. So I feel like you got like 10 good years of Jokic because he's still very young.
They're going to be Spurs-esque almost. Yeah. Like this is like
the dynasty kind of thing.
Yeah. This is like the start of like a Tim Duncan like run, I think. So in that respect, they've got an amazingly bright future, but they've got a bright right now as well. So
Michael Porter Jr. And even Aaron Gordon, he's young too. Like he fits the timeline. So
I'm not as high on Aaron Gordon, but Michael Porter Jr. for me is, I think around this time last year, I predicted that he was going to be their second best player. I think I said 3 years at the time. Yeah. It's 1 year now. Look, it's looking pretty good. he's a beast, man. I really like MPJ. His defense, his shot creating ability,
efficiency through the roof,
just efficient. So if he gets a bit more of a handle, a bit more sort of playmaking ability, he's going to be just incredible. I think he's got that like Paul George kind of level sort of upside. So I do like him. But are we picking the Grizzlies?
I'll go Grizzlies.
Yes.
Even though if Jamal didn't go down, I think Nuggets are clear. Yeah, I think
that's the sway factor.
Clear pick, but
it's an ACL. It's not like it's, you know, like something little. It's, you know, maybe he's not the Jamal Murray we saw in the playoffs last year when he comes back. That's the swing factor.
Exactly.
There is some downside. All right, what's the next award?
All right, the next award is the belt, aka the best player on the planet. Who
best
has
player
the belt?
On the planet. Okay. I like it. The belt. Not the GOAT, not the MVP, the belt.
Who's got the belt? Who has
it? Now, I think there's only a few players we could pick this. Have you picked Jokic as the belt?
He's on my list. He's on my list.
Obviously, he has to be. Obviously, we picked him as the MVP. But is he the best player on the planet?
I didn't have him. He doesn't have the belt in my eyes. I'm sorry. He doesn't have the belt.
Wow. Me neither.
I did it.
There's one man that I want to pay respect to. And I think I think he has to be the choice. Right now, the best player on the planet is Steph Curry.
Are you going Steph Curry?
I'm going Steph Curry. The best player on the planet is Steph Curry. It has
the
to
belt.
Be. Yeah.
I love this, it.
If we're taking the season that we've just witnessed, it has to be Steph Curry. I mean, LeBron, yes, cool. He's still LeBron, but I don't know. He's been injured. He's old. I know Steph Curry is no spring chicken, but the stuff that we were seeing from Steph this year on the team that he had, I don't need to see anymore. He's the best player on the planet. Now, the MVP, it's a bit of a weird award, so that's why you take into account the team record and things like that, but just on the eye test and what I've seen this season, Steph Curry to me is the best player in the world.
I love that pick. I love it. He was getting
something different.
He was getting double teamed all the time. The man still was dropping 40 on a nightly basis.
Such a hard, he's 6 foot. What is he? 6 foot two. Like he's small, not athletic. you know, just and still every night, double team, no other offensive threat on this team, and gets it done. Led the league in scoring.
Who's amazing. The second best offensive option on that Golden State team? Tell me, who is it?
I mean, it's probably Andrew Wiggins, but like, what the fuck is that saying? You know, like, what are we doing here? Andrew Wiggins?
He wasn't on our second banana list. He definitely
was not. Did you have someone different? You seemed a little surprised with my pick.
I know there was an injury this year, but I still think LeBron has the belt. I'm sorry, but LeBron has the belt.
Fair enough. I can't really argue it. Like, I mean, it's LeBron James, but
it's LeBron James.
I don't know.
Yeah, I still think he has the belt. So
remember, we said at the start of this podcast that it's this season we were going off, not the playoffs, because you know I think LeBron can snatch it back if he does some big time shit. But based on what I've seen this season, I don't know. I want to pay respect to the great man. You know, like, isn't he the oldest player since Michael Jordan to lead the league in scoring? Like, he is. That's incredible. And a point guard, like, come on, man. Like, that's insane. Have I convinced you?
I think you've persuaded me. I think let's go Steph Curry. I love it. I love
it. It has
pick.
To be. Yes, it has to be. Look, we might Steph review this the after the playoffs, and it might be LeBron, but I don't know. Steph, we got to pay respect to him, because I do think, it's just got to be him. I think it's got to be him.
I love the pick. So, like, we'll lock it in. LeBron could take it from him if he wins again in the playoffs, then obviously we'll give it back to him.
Yeah.
His waist many a time. But let's give it to Steph. Let's go.
Let's do it. I reckon we should. Was there anyone else that you considered for this award? I think those were the two main ones.
One person I would have considered a bit more seriously if it wasn't for the injury as well. It was Joel Embiid, because he was the front runner for MVP. He's and just like because he's so important on the defensive end as well as the offense, I can see a world where maybe he can snatch the belt. I think he's up there. He's definitely an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, funny we haven't mentioned Kawhi, Giannis.
I mean, Luka's up there too.
Yeah, I did think about Luka. He's probably not quite there yet, but
he'll get the belt one day.
He's approaching. Anthony Davis we didn't mention. Kevin Durant didn't mention as well. You know, it's hard to give it to those players on those teams, but I'm always a big fan of Kevin Durant. I still think he's definitely up there, but just based on what we've seen, for me, it's Steph.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next award.
The next award is the worst mid-season trade award.
Okay, yes.
There are a few. A couple I've written down is, firstly, I just want to say that the James Harden trade, I think, is going to, that was just so bad. Yeah, it was really, I mean, I guess they got a few picks out of it and we don't know what that's going to be, but I think that was a shocking trade looking back on it now.
I think they could have got more. Like, you're trading James Harden.
At least get some kind of star back. They really got nothing back. They could have had Karis as well, but they decided who could have been a piece, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we'll get Oladipo. And then that's another mention on my trist as the Oladipo trade.
Oladipo, they traded him for nothing.
It was a second rounder. Second rounder.
I mean, I know he's not as good as he once was, but surely you can get more than a second round pick for Oladipo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. No, but I think that's
both trades by Houston. Both trades by Houston. Shocking. Yeah. Did you have some more you want to mention?
I did have one, and this makes Houston look a little bit better. I want to highlight the Cavs trading Kevin Porter Jr. to the Houston Rockets for, again, basically nothing. It's a future second round pick is all they traded him for. And the fact that he put up a 50 bomb this year looks like a core piece to the Houston Rockets future. On a team like the Cavs, I know they've got the Sexland combo over there, so there's maybe less room for him to be a piece there. But on a team that's still building and still rebuilding, I think you want to keep these guys. I know he had those off-court issues and things like that, and he was a locker room sort of guy. So from that point of view, it's a little bit worse. But I just think that you got to be more patient with players like this, and especially considering where the Cavs are. I just think for their position and what they're trying to do, you don't trade players like that. You know, you trade your who do they trade? JaVale McGee's, and you trade those kind of players, but you hang on to these guys that have potential. I just didn't think that made much sense.
For a team that's going nowhere, you don't give away the young prospects like that. Yeah. And I understand. I kind of had a bit of an asterisk next to it because apparently there was all the locker room stuff and the front office were pretty much done with him is what we were told. So it's a weird one, but he's looking like a great prospect now. And just like he was, he was very promising back at the Cavs as well. So the Cavs really, if he ends up being, let's say he becomes an all-star, then they look pretty stupid.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think he will. Like, personally, I don't think he's going to be an all-star, but I took into consideration the position. But I think I agree with you in terms of my pick. My pick would definitely be that James Harden trade, because I just feel like they got bullied into trading him to the Nets. Like, I mean, I don't know if this was actually on the table, but there was rumors of like a Ben Simmons trade at the start of the season and things like that. Like, if that was on the cards, like, I don't know if it was. I mean, I think personally that it maybe wasn't, but if it was, like, you'd snatch that up in a second. I don't know. I just feel like there was better offers out there, or you could have drawn it out longer and gotten more. I know that it was a cloud hanging over the organization, but you ended up tanking anyway. So who gives a shit? Just like, just be bad as it is and just go from there. But I don't know. I feel like they could have got way more. Did you have any other ones?
No, like my winner was the James Harden trade too.
Yeah. I think we can agree on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of all the superstars traded in the last few years, I think this was the smallest package back that they got. Like, I'm pretty sure.
And it was probably the best star traded too. That's the thing. Like, he's better than Paul George. I guess Kawhi is better than him. But he's one of the best stars traded in a while.
Yeah. And Kawhi sort of came with Paul George as well. So I guess that one was like a 2-for-1. But I was thinking that, like, the Oklahoma City traded Chris Paul for more than this, almost. They traded Westbrook for way more than this. All those picks they got for Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like, they got way more value than what Houston got for James Harden. So I think it's been a bad few years for the Houston Rockets from the management side of things. So, we'll see if they get the luck and they get the draft pick. But even, I'm pretty sure if the draft pick falls outside a certain range, they lose that to OKC as well. So
top five protected.
So it could get real ugly for Houston if they get a bit unlucky next year. So we'll see how that all turns out. What's the next award there, Cal?
Right, so it's similar, but it's the other side of the spectrum. So the best mid-season trade award. I've got a few more things written down.
Yep. What have you got?
So I've got the Aaron Gordon trade. I thought was okay. I've got the
on Vucevic. Which side? I want to ask you which side.
I kind of feel I'm a bit higher on Aaron Gordon, I guess, than you are. Yeah, but I feel like he's a good fit for the Nuggets. They need a defensive guy, a big body who can defend threes and fours, which they didn't have. And I think that is a good piece and fits the timeline well. And they didn't give up a whole lot for him. So I'm pretty happy with that trade.
Fair enough.
The Vucevic trade on the Magic's end, I think getting two first rounders and Wendell Carter could look pretty good. Especially because it's a lottery pick this season. They're getting the Bulls' first round pick this season, and the Bulls, it could be six, it could be a pick around there, it could be 10, it could be whatever. But that's nothing to laugh over. That's pretty good.
Yep.
I have the Kevin Porter Jr. trade, which we've touched on as well. That was for a second rounder. That's a steal. But as I said, there's a bit of an asterisk there.
Yeah.
The Cavs Jarrett Allen pick. They pretty much just picked him up for nothing. The Nets need to get rid of, I guess, I think it was the money aspect.
They got involved in that trade and somehow came out with Jarrett Allen, which,
they came out with a starting center for their future. So
I think that's an excellent deal. When you had, even though they had Drummond on the roster, I think they just went, fuck it, let's just get the young, good center on this roster that they don't seem to want.
Yeah,
I think that was a steal of a trade. So I do like that pick.
Huge steal. And then the last one I'll mention is the Derrick Rose trade. Which they traded Dennis Smith Jr., who wasn't even playing for them, and a second rounder.
Good shout. I forgot about that trade completely, really.
looking at it now, I mean, Derrick Rose, he's closing games last month.
For the Knicks,
18-4 for a fourth seed playoff team. That's what you want in a midseason trade.
Exactly. Like, at the time, I thought nothing of it. I was like, oh, yeah, cool, whatever. The Knicks got Derrick Rose. Classic Tibbs. But it's... It's actually turned into a decent trade, considering where they finished in the regular season. So, yeah, I don't mind it at all. Of those picks, my favorite one is the Orlando Magic trade for Vucevic. I think they got the most value that they could. I'm a big fan of Wendell Carter Jr. I'm a big fan of the fact that they got those picks from Chicago and the fact that Chicago still sucked, so the picks are good. I think the Bulls thought that they were going to rise up the standings. And, oh, yeah, it's only going to be like a, you know, late teens kind of pick, but that didn't happen. It's going to be like a more than likely a, like an eighth pick in the draft. So they're going to have a top three or four pick and a top eight pick in this year's draft, which looks like it's going to be a pretty good draft class. I've started doing a lot of research there. So that's going to kickstart their rebuild. I think they've embraced the youth movement, but with, you know, the Jonathan Isaacs and the Markel Fultz of the world. So I like the direction that they're going in. I'm glad that they managed to capitalize on Dario Vucevic. So that's my pick for the winner. Is that your pick overall as well, or did you have another one?
I think that's the easy pick. I decided against it. I was like, you know what? There's uncertainty. I don't know if they've won it yet.
They probably
have, but I'm going to go with, I think it was a textbook midseason trade. I'm going with Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is my pick. He helped them. He boosted them, got on the fourth seed. He's going to be valuable in the playoffs as well. He's going to close games. I like his game. I like watching Derrick. It's better watching a playoff New York team when you get to watch like a Derrick Rose he's so crafty now, very crafty player. And it's kind of kudos to him to just how incredibly athletic he used to be and to go through so many injuries and still be able to compete on this level. I think it's awesome. I love watching him. 18-4. He's putting up a night. Let's go, Derrick Rose. That's my pick. It's a textbook midseason. It's what you want. Something that boosts you to the playoffs.
I like it. Look, I'll concede. I think I didn't even consider it, to be honest, but you've talked me into it. And I think I just didn't consider it because at the time I thought nothing of it. But reflecting on it now, I think it actually was a great pick for the New York Knicks because at the time I didn't think they'd make the playoffs. So the fact that they're a fourth seed, they're bringing basketball back to New York, playoff basketball back to New York. It's a good story for Derrick Rose to make it to the playoffs for New York. So let's give it to him. I like it. I think it's a good one. Good pick. All right. We got one more award here that we'll go through. And then we're just going to quickly, we might just touch on some highlights of the playoffs. I think this pod's gone a bit longer than we thought. So we'll just highlight through there. So what's the last award for tonight, Cal?
So this one is the most underappreciated player in the league in our mind.
Yeah.
That you can come up with many of people. It is a tough one. I'll let you. Do you have any honorable mentions to begin? I'll let you take the lead.
I'll start with a couple honorable mentions. I did mention these guys before in the second banana. I'm going to mention Clint Capela as an underappreciated asset. I think he has been huge for the Atlanta Hawks. The fact that he was traded to the Hawks in the first place from Houston just shows to me that he wasn't appreciated in Houston. They got him very cheaply. I think he's probably their second best player, maybe ahead of John Collins. I know John Collins is probably a better offensive player, but just the defense that he brings to that team when there's not a lot of other defense on that team is very important. So shout out to Clint Capela as a pick. Rudy Gobert, I'm going to give a shout out because even though he's probably going to win the defensive player of the year, I still think that he is underrated and not talked about enough. He might have even sort of crept into sort of like your top 7 or 8 MVP discussion sort of level, because I do think he's the most important player on the Jazz. Those were my two honorable mentions. Two big guys, defensive focus, seems to be the common theme for being underappreciated in my book. who did you have for the honorable mentions?
I had an honorable mention to CJ McCollum because he stepped his game up a bit, and I feel like he is a bit underappreciated out of the Trailblazers. He closes some games, like him and CJ. Him and Dame. You know, they like to share it a bit, and if he's feeling it, he's cooking. He'll close out games. I think he's been underappreciated, and he's a better fit now for this NBA because now everything's going a bit smaller, so it is more built for him. But the player I kind of had written down and penciled in, I was open to swaying it, but it was another Atlanta Hawk, funnily enough.
Okay. Yes.
In Bogdan Bogdanovic.
Really? Okay. I'm a bit surprised by that one.
I think he's underappreciated.
I'm a bogey fan. I do like me some bogey.
You know, like the Kings gave him away for nothing. I mean,
he got a good deal though, didn't he? Like he got paid a fair bit from.
He did get paid. There was the whole Bucks fiasco that didn't go through. That was meant to be a trade.
Yes.
And then the Hawks gave him some big deal that was a bit more. He obviously took the money. I mean, fair enough. But
Does that mean he's underappreciated though? Because there were suitors. There were people there that wanted him.
That's true, yes. But like the Kings still gave him up for nothing. And there was periods of the season where Trae Young was out and they were running the offense through him. And he was performing. He was playing real well. I think he deserves a shout out. So he's who I have.
Okay, fair enough. I don't mind it. I don't mind. I think I like the guys that I mentioned a bit more. I think of the Hawks, I think Clint Capella might be more underappreciated just quietly. But I'm going to throw a guy out here that I probably underappreciated until this season, until I was a dynasty owner of him in fantasy basketball. And that's De'Aaron Fox is my pick for underappreciated. He's probably not underappreciated at the Kings, but I think he's underappreciated league-wide because this guy, if you look at his numbers, has just put up an outstanding season on a Kings team that really, you know, let's be honest, it's the Sacramento Kings. They're not very good. But if we just look at his stats over the year, he's put up 25, 3.5, 7 assists, 1.5 steals a game, shooting 47% from the field. His free throw percentage is improving. His three-point shooting is getting slightly better. Put up half a block a game. Like this man just, he's really, really good on a team that has struggled. He's improved every single year. And I think, you know, putting up 25 points a night is on 47% shooting from the point guard position is just super impressive. And I don't think he gets any attention because the Kings just flat out trash. Shout out to De'Aaron Fox for me.
I love De'Aaron Fox. I kind of really am a big fan of De'Aaron and I feel like people have been hating on him. And to some degree, because I'm a big fan, I didn't consider him. If that makes sense. But he definitely is underappreciated. He was leading the league for a while in fourth quarter points as well. Yes, so he was clutch.
He was clutch.
And that deserves a bit of a mention too. And he keeps growing. He's getting better every year. He reminds me a lot of John Wall just with his pace and quickness, but I think the shooting's there a bit more. So there's definitely a huge ceiling on him.
Yeah, I think he's a better version of John Wall personally. Just a bit more of a complete game in terms of the mid-range game. The shooting is a little bit more there. I think he's a better decision maker than John Wall was. I think John Wall had a bit more of that out of control sort of game, maybe a little bit more vertically athletic than De'Aaron Fox. But De'Aaron Fox has definitely got the speed and quickness.
Crazy athlete anyway.
So that's my pick there. Do we want to settle on? I'm going to push hard for Fox here. I think he's a bit more underappreciated than Bogey personally.
I've weirdly been persuaded to Capella.
Capella? Okay. All right. Let's find a middle ground then. All right. I'm happy with Clint Capella because I think he doesn't get a mention. And I think I had him earlier in our banana, the second banana award. So
I think he's had a few shout outs.
Fitting him here is okay. In a shocking upset, Clint Capella comes in and nabs the award, the final award of the season. So congratulations to all the winners and nominees. You know, make sure you thank your wives and children. It's a great honor, I'm sure, for all of you. You can get your other awards later on, but this is the real prestigious one. Let's move on to the playoffs. We're going to talk the playoffs. I want to touch maybe just briefly on a few different series. I think we mentioned the Celtics and Brooklyn. Let's not talk too much about there, but the really only question I've got for you in that series there, Cal, is do you think the Celtics win one game?
I'm starting to think it's a sweep. I'm getting the broom out.
Me too, I think.
I said it was five, but...
I think I was optimistic. I had the green color glasses on and I think we're getting swept.
It has to be game three though. They're at home again.
Oh, if it's not the next game, it's guaranteed a sweep. But I'm not seeing it. I'm not buying in. I think this Nets team is starting to figure it out. Like we didn't even beat them when they were playing crap in game one. You know, they weren't playing good and we still lost. So it's not good signs. So let's move quickly away from that series. Another one that we'll just touch on real quick. Philly versus the Wizards. Again, do you think Wizards get a game here?
I still think they do get one game. Okay. Just off kind of like three-point shooting. They get a good Bertans and Bradley Beal game. I can see them getting one. So I'm just going to stick by five games.
I'm more optimistic in them getting a game than my Celtics. However, I'm still going to pick Philadelphia to sweep like I did before the playoffs. Nothing I've seen has made me sort of think otherwise. I think I let this be known in our last podcast. I'm a big fan of Philly in these playoffs. I've picked them to win it all. So I think they get it done in four.
Fair enough.
Let's move on to a very close series to our hearts and our wallets. The Bucks versus the Heat. The Bucks are now up 2-0.
Oh, no.
For anyone who missed the podcast last week, we've got a bet going. I've backed the Bucks. You've backed the Heat.
Let's go, Miami. $20
on the line. We're down. You're down 2-0. How are you feeling, Cal? What are you? You've got the Heat shirt on. Oh, no. Oh, shit. What's happening, man? What's going on with your Heat?
I'm feeling confident. That's all right. We've seen right it before. We've seen Toronto go down 0-2 to the Bucks and come back and beat them. We've seen the Bucks collapse like this before. So I still think Miami had their number to some degree. I'm starting to realize that they do miss Jay Crowder a bit. And the addition of Jrue Holiday has been a much bigger boost than I thought, considering he did replace the most washed player of the season in Eric Bledsoe.
It's a big upgrade.
It's a huge upgrade. Something I didn't completely account for. So look, I'm a bit worried. I'll be honest. I am a bit worried. But game three Jimmy Butler was I'll reinforce, he was the only player to ever outscore, rebound, and assist LeBron in a playoff game. And there's not many people that have done it before, and there probably won't be anyone else who. Well, he's the first, and there may not ever be anyone else that has done it. So he could have that on his resume.
Very well could do.
I still think I'm going to go Heat in seven. I said Heat in six originally,
all right.
And I was banking that they'd steal a game here, but I'm still saying Heat in seven. Let's carry the Heat.
Well, they have to win next game. They have to win game three. And look, you're going to want Jimmy to put up more than 10 points. So I don't know. It's do or die now for the Heat, I think. I think they've got a realistic chance of winning game three. And if they do, the series is back on. But it has to be the next game.
I'm caught.
We know what happens. We know what happens when teams go down 3-0. So unfortunately, it'll be during the week. So we won't be able to watch together. So kind of for the bet's sake, I hope we can get to the weekend and still have it a bit close so we can watch a game together. But we'll see how we go. Let's move over to Hawks and Knicks. Hawks take the game one. I think we both... Did you pick the Knicks? I can't remember.
I picked the Knicks in seven. Yeah,
I picked the Knicks in six. So we both have the Knicks. I was a bit surprised to see the Hawks win game one, considering it was in New York. What are your thoughts on this? Have you changed at all after one game?
I'm starting to think maybe it's Hawks in seven. It was always a flip the coin series for me. And the fact that they've taken one, I think I would probably change my pick now to the Hawks in seven. And look, Julius Randle, he had a shocking game. So maybe he bounces back. Maybe there's something a bit untapped there. But on the other hand, he's not super experienced in this position before. So maybe this is a bit of a shock to the system for him, and he won't be as consistent as he was in the regular season. I don't know. There's a bit of speculation there, but I would probably sway towards the Hawks in seven. It'll be a good series there.
Oh, yeah, I do think it'll be a good series, and it was close. I'm going to stick with my guns and go with the Knicks. I think that the fact that Julius Randle had such a bad game, he's the heart and soul of this team. I'm going to put my faith that he's going to come good, because he's a type of player that doesn't take stupid shots. Like, he's not like a jump shot relying kind of player. So I think him having off games is more the outlier than him not. So I think that he's going to get himself sorted and get himself back in the series. You definitely want them to see them win the next game. If they lose the next game, I'm probably going to change my pick. But for now, I think if they should win game two at New York, and then the series will be back and forth from there. So I'm going to stick fast with New York. Let's move over to the Western Conference because there's a few more interesting things happening over there. We're going to start with the 1-8 matchup, Utah Jazz versus Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis, the brightest team in the NBA, the brightest future team in the NBA by our standards, win game one against the Donovan Mitchell-less Utah Jazz. Bit of a weird stuff going on with Donovan Mitchell before the game. He was in, and then all of a sudden he was out with the ankle. He said he was going to play 48 minutes, but then he didn't even play one. So little weird things. Apparently he's confirmed to play game two. I still have the Utah Jazz winning, I think. Do you think that the Memphis Grizzlies can pull up the rare 8-1 upset?
I don't think they will. I think you still have to go to Utah. But the Donovan Mitchell thing is a concern.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? Like, how bad is this ankle?
Exactly.
Like, he hasn't played for how long? It's been several weeks now that he's missed. So he's coming straight back into the playoffs. Maybe there's a bit of rust there. Maybe they drop game two. Like, what happens if they drop game two in Utah? They go back to Memphis. There's all this momentum. It's a little worrying.
Yeah, I'm concerned. If they could lose, they honestly could lose game two. So I'm a bit worried. I'm still going to back Utah though, but I think it's going to be a deep series now to be six or seven.
Okay. Yeah. I do think Memphis gets at least one more game here. I think Memphis is not a typical eight seed because they haven't had Jaren Jackson Jr. for most of the season. I think he's their at least second best player on the team. They're deep. They've got all these perimeter players that they can switch and match up on different players. I want to get your take on Dylan Brooks. What's your thoughts on Dylan Brooks? Because I've been seeing a lot of hype around this guy recently, and personally, I don't think he's a good NBA player. I'll get your take on it, but I've heard the commentary on the TNT broadcast, ESPN broadcast, saying that he's one of the best wing defenders in the NBA. I don't know where this is coming from, but I don't know. There's a lot of hype around him, and I'm pushing back against it. What are your thoughts?
He is a good defender. I'll give him that. He is a good defender. If you look at his efficiency stats, they're not good.
Oh, it's horrible.
But on the other hand, he can still kind of get you a bucket. He's a timely bucket getter.
Yeah.
And for a guy who also plays defense and I wouldn't call him a liability on the offensive end. Like, he gets his own shot. He's just a bit streaky. Or is this a guy who hustles on defense? I like watching him go up against.
He's like a Lou Dort type.
He's similar to, he's. I wouldn't even compare him to Lou Dort. He's kind of, he's got a bit of Pat Bev in him, I guess.
Yeah, just kind of hassling people. Pat Bev in the way that, like, he looks like he's playing great defense, but I don't think he actually is. Do you know what I mean? Like,
he's a bit of a nuisance.
Yeah, he's an annoying defender is what I see more of.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see him clamping down someone and locking them down. I don't see that. But I see him like making people have to work a bit harder and things like that.
He'll make Donovan work on his game back. So that's another thing.
He's not going to let him. Not going to let him heal that ankle. That's for sure.
Exactly.
So we both got Utah there. Let's move on to the this is an interesting one. The 2-7 matchup. We had the game today. It was a very exciting game. I managed to catch the second half of this one. Phoenix fans were very loud, very vocal. So we've got the Phoenix Suns tying the series with the Lakers one apiece. We spoke to our friend Jermaine today. He said he's a little bit concerned with the lack of chemistry with these guys here. So what are your thoughts on this series?
The Lakers, they stole one. They're playing away, right? The Lakers, they had to steal one of these games and now they're going back to the Staples Center. So I think it's all kind of as you'd expect for the Lakers to win. I think I said six or seven. I think I might've said six for the Lakers, but I'm still going to back them. I think it's got to be the Lakers. They stole the game away. That's all they needed to do.
Mm.
Come back home now.
Yeah. I think today was a big, big win. The fact that Chris Paul is injured and not playing 100% is a huge, huge issue for the Suns. So if it wasn't for that, I would believe a bit more on this Phoenix Suns team, but I think that just that alone is enough for me to tip. I mean, we both picked the Lakers to start anyway. I think that's still the case. And the fact that they're going to get, if they can get things going in this series and get a bit of momentum, That definitely looks better for them, because that's the thing that they want to get this momentum going. LeBron, AD both had some really clutch shots and plays at the end of this game today, which, you know, reaffirmed to me that these two are two of the best players on the planet. So they're a championship favorite for a reason. So how many games do you think Phoenix gets? Do you think they get one, two more?
I think it's going six or seven. So
yeah, okay. I'm going to pick it in six. So I think one more. For Phoenix. Right. I'm going to pick them to win game four. I think Lakers get the next one, and then Phoenix gets the next one.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's go over to a bit of an upset series now. We'll save that one to the end. Let's talk Denver, Portland, another series tied one apiece. I think we both picked this one as a bit of a close series. I picked Portland. Did you pick Portland as well?
I picked Portland in seven.
Yeah. I think I picked Portland in six, not confidently, maybe seven. One apiece now, so probably hasn't swayed us either way. What have you thought about these two teams moving forward so far? Sorry.
Love Nikola Jokic. He's doing his MVP things, winning games for him, doing everything he can. We expected this. And he had a great game too to out-duel Dame, who had an absolute crazy, scorching first half.
Dame didn't get any the help wasn't there for him in game two, which is a bit of a concern. I don't think that's going to be the case moving forward. They've got a lot of firepower on that team. I don't know. The rest of the team on the Nuggets are playing well, though. You know, Faku's doing his thing. MPJ's putting up points. You know, Paul Millsap's being savvy and smart.
Aaron Gordon's playing defense.
Well. Aaron Gordon's doing his thing. They don't even have Will Barton yet. Is he due back to come back at some point?
I don't know. I'm not too sure about Will Barton.
I think he might be an outside chance to make an appearance in this series at some point. Nothing's really persuaded me to go. I always thought this was going to be a close series, but I just think that the depth of the Trailblazers, like their seven-man rotation, is better than Denver without Jamal Murray. So I think I'm still on the Portland wagon moving forward. So. Would you agree? Is there anything to sway your opinion so far? Like, I mean, it's 1-1, so...
Yeah, I still think it's going to be the Blazers in seven. I think it will be them in seven.
It's going back to Portland now.
On Will Barton, it's his hamstring. He's been ruled out for game two. But the fact it's just being ruled out means maybe there's some hope for return in the series.
I think there is some hope. The fact that it's going back to Portland as well for me is good for Portland as well. They managed all they were going to do was steal a game, and they did that, so... Now they have the home court advantage being the lower seed. So I think that bodes well for their chances to win. Because these crowds, man, they've been like smaller crowds, but you can feel it, man. Like the fans are loving playoff basketball, and it's really, you can feel that atmosphere, especially that Suns game today, man. That was awesome. That felt electric in there. All right, let's go. Last series we're going to touch on, the Clippers Mavs. Wow. The Dallas Mavericks.
How worried are you?
I'm worried. I picked the Clippers, and they've obviously lost the first two games at home. I'm going to flip my pick. I think the Mavs get them. And look, they have to win the next game. They absolutely have to win the next game. Can you imagine the Twitter storm that's going to come down on the Clippers if they get swept by the Mavs in the first round? Can you imagine how much shit talk is going to go their way if that happens?
And I think it's just the basketball gods a bit too. I mean, they 100% tanked those last couple of games. They probably should have been the third seed. They should have been going up against the Blazers. It should have been like this.
You're hot on this. See, I don't know about that, but you've been pumping this a little bit. So maybe
it
is.
You don't mess with the basketball gods, and they did.
No, you do not. You do not mess with the basketball gods. It's like the fantasy gods. You don't mess with them.
Exactly.
Shit. So, yeah, what are your thoughts? Do you think the Clippers, like...
I'm changing my pick. I'm going Mavs. Doncic is looking like the best player on the court. Kawhi played a great game too, though.
Kawhi's
and
doing
even
his best.
Paul George looked pretty good. Like, he looked all right. Just didn't hit the threes, but he looked all right.
I caught a bit of this game. I was focusing more on the Lakers game and then flicked over to this at the end. But their defense looks shit. Like, that's what's letting them down. Their defense at the moment is very, lazy. It doesn't look structured. They don't look like they're playing playoff defense. Like they're still in regular season mode. Like they're getting like big points. Like the score total today was pretty large for a playoff game. But just they're letting players like Tim Hardaway Jr., players like Dorian Finney-Smith, and like all these guys get wide open 3-point shots, and they're gonna hit those. Like they're good shooters. They had the second highest total threes in a normal regular playoff game in today's game. Second only to the time where they versed LeBron in the 2011 game where they were raining threes back in the day with Dirk. So, yeah, I just think they've got to pick up the defense and it has to be next game. Otherwise, they're done.
Yeah, I feel like it's actually kind of the bench is what sold me on this. Weirdly, that's what sold me for the Mavericks. Because I'm looking at the Clippers and it's like, yeah, you got Morris and you got Batum and you got kind of an unhealthy Ibaka just came back from injury and
yeah,
Rondo hasn't quite fit in there yet. And he hasn't played enough games with them, I don't think. And then you got the Mavs that have been playing together all season. You got a young Brunson who brings energy. Yep. You've got Tim Hardaway Jr. who can go for 30 any night. He went for 28 in the second game. You've got, he outdueled Paul George. And then on top of that, you got Kristaps who dropped 20. I mean, Kristaps can go up for 40. You don't know what Kristaps is going to do. 100%. You got Kleber who can play great defense on Kawhi as well. He can also hit threes. Like it's a team that has a lot going on, and I kind of prefer their role players a lot more to the role players on the Clippers.
They're built better. Like their team fits better. And it's obviously built around Luka. Yes, they're not as talented, I don't think, but yeah, they just fit better. I don't know, man. Like this is really rough. I didn't expect this to happen. If I'm a Clipper fan, I'd be very, very disappointed. Maybe they should have been our most disappointing. Maybe they'll make the most disappointing in the playoffs. I don't know when we do our playoff awards or something like that. But man, fuck. Do you think are they going to win game three? That's the question. Because if they win game three, there's a chance.
They better. Just for the entertainment for the world. You better do it, Kawhi. Come on.
I'm going to go out and say they win game three. I'll say they'll do it. Dallas is going to be rocking though. Like when they go over to Dallas, they're going to be pumped up.
That crowd is going to be so into it.
Yeah. I'm putting a lot of faith in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George here. Which I don't know, maybe that's foolish based on Paul George's record in the playoffs, especially away from home. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe something, they've got to get a boost from someone. It's got to be a Marcus Morris, it's got to be a Rondo, it's got to be Reggie Jackson, or someone's got to do something else to help these two players. And they've got to defend better, because at the moment it's just looking like they're just chilling. So I think both of us, looks like we're changing our picks to the Mavs, which means that in this situation it'll be Mavs Utah, which would be an interesting series. I'm not sure who I would pick in that series just yet. We'll have to see how it looks and how they get there. But I think that's probably the likely upset at this point in all these first round series.
Yeah. I want to close off by just saying, I think we should do this every week. And who do you have in your finals?
In my finals? Well, shit, I did have the fucking Clippers, but
that's the thing. I had the Clippers Lakers and I had the Lakers in the final, but just don't. It does change things. So I'm still gonna say it is Brooklyn Lakers is what I'm gonna back it. But maybe next week this could change.
Yeah, I'm going Philly Lakers. I think Lakers have overtaken obviously the Clippers for me. I think the fact that the Chris Paul thing is gonna give them enough time if they get past this series to get some chemistry and get some game time into LeBron and AD. They looked really good today. So yeah, I think they're going to make it through because I don't see a team in here that can stop them really. The matchups just aren't great. I still have Philadelphia winning, so it's still my pick.
I still have the Brooklyn Nets.
I still think whoever comes out of East, personally, I'm big on the East this year. I think whoever comes out, I'm more confident in Philly beating Lakers than I am Philly beating Brooklyn. So I think that Eastern Conference Finals just going to be, that's going to be crazy, man. I think whoever wins that will be the winner.
And you got the Bucks in the mix too. Like,
yeah, they're there. What about the Heat?
And the Heat.
I'm excited for the future rounds. That will do it for us today, guys. Follow us on Twitter for all our takes. I'm tweeting out like a madman every day, at BallBoysNBA. If you're listening on, or if you're listening anywhere, go over to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel, like the videos, hit that notification bell so when a new video drops, you get notified and you can watch it straight away. If you have any questions or any hot takes, if you think Callum's crazy for picking the Heat, let us know in the comments below, and we'd love talking to everyone. So until next time, we will catch you later. Bye.